All right, Dov, I got your point about probiotics. I'm not going into it. You can keep sending SMSs. I'm still not going into that issue. Thank you for that. Dov says it is a cool tune. And unsigned, the vegan hater says it's not a hamburger. They need biltong. I need my fix. I think that's right. I think people can get a bit crotchety without meat. You know, are vegans happy people?
Well, that's we should do a show on that.
Are vegans happy?
We'd need to do some research.
Yeah. Look, it's easy to find vegans because they'll keep telling you that they're vegans. They're the people with video clips of cows being slaughtered and they're standing around the braai showing people. No.
I'm sure it's the same people that caption on their Instagram photos, pretty girls are the happiest.
Yes.
Or happy girls are the prettiest.
Yes, exactly. You got it wrong. It's the other way around. Happy girls are the prettiest. Not pretty girls are the happiest. You know, because otherwise we could say, oh, is it the same with being thin? Happy people are thin people, or thin people are happy people, right? I don't know. David, help us out here.
Well, it's very similar to the topic we're talking about this
morning. What are we talking about, David?
Apparently, you told me that we're talking about materialism this morning.
Well, yes, we are, because, you know, Zanatti's lead story, of course, is about a situation in South Africa where an allegation of a Ponzi scheme took place. Lots of people losing a lot of money over it. The guy whose name we're not going into here because I think it's completely irrelevant in terms of the conversation, purporting to be a religious guy. So what are we seeing? And we see it a lot in our community, but I think we see it in all communities. I would very much doubt that it's a greater problem in the Jewish community than in any others. But we're seeing over and over again these terrible things where people are being hoodwinked, taken for a ride, people, and it's irrelevant whether they can afford it or not. In this case, certainly some people that the vulnerable were taken, seem to have been taken advantage of, but that's, again, not the issue at all. The issue is that money drives us mad. Mm. Money seems to drive us to all sorts of horrors. And you can start off with President Jacob Zuma, work your way down. It's every level of society. What is it about money that causes us to throw away so much of our ethical and moral value system and compass? It's a very, very perplexing question for me.
Absolutely. And I think we, you know, we're talking psychology, but I think from a sociological perspective, we've got to, I think, really keep in mind that it's really so difficult, in today's society not to develop any materialistic tendencies. I mean, you think about from a very young age, we are bombarded with, you know, with images of people who are wealthy, famous, you know, handsome, pretty, and they are the ones that are admired by society. And we get very, very strong social conditioning from a very early age that's what it is to be happy. And so through externalities, through material gain, that's how we are going to be happy. That's how we're going to be fulfilled. So again, you know, we because of the technology, the way that we live, we are exposed to this more and more and more. And it's very hard to avoid these messages, you know, because we just live in the world. So I think that is an important place to start. The other thing is that, I think, you know, often, you know, we try and understand why people are so materialistic, and there's so many theories around it. You know, some people, you know, theorists would say that, you know, it's that Darwinian, is that the right word?
Darwinian.
Darwinian, thank you. Mm-hmm. Way of thinking where, you know, there's limited resources and we all need to survive. And so we try and get more than than we need. But when we think about it, you know, when we think about hunters and gatherers, we think about animals, you know, besides, I suppose, hoarding a little bit for the winter, it's not how the world works.
And within the animal kingdom, you eat your fill, and then the next layer will eat their fill from right. that, and then the next layer from there until you've got this whole system that everybody's benefited from one, from a shared resource.
Absolutely. And so it goes against like, almost like the, you know, the way that nature's work, it works. It's not natural to, you know, want to accumulate more than you have or more than you need. And, you know, and one other theory which I found interesting is this idea of like, you know, this, relentless, restless dissatisfaction. And that's a way of us living, how we keep moving forward, how we keep wanting more so we survive in the world. You know, there's a quite a few theorists to write about that. But again, you know, I don't think it stands ground, holds water. Because again, it just doesn't seem to be natural that every time we don't have abundance, that we need to accumulate. All the studies, and I know, you know, we often talk about cognitive dissonance, Howard, and you know, just to remind our listeners, cognitive dissonance is knowing that something is not working or is bad for you, yet we still do it. Right. I think it's out there, you know, in magazines and in newspapers and on TV, that we know and we've been told over and over again, materialism and accumulation of wealth does not bring happiness. And it almost becomes, you know, like we just brush it off because we just hear it so often. But it's proven over and over again that...
Well, in fact, the latest studies did show that, in fact, they quantified it, the time, and they said if your base is, let's say, at zero, happiness-wise, and you buy beautiful new shoes, beautiful new watch, whatever it is, your happiness goes up, but within 33 days, you're back to that zero point. Whereas if you have an incredible experience with friends and family and whatever that would be, your happiness goes up, but it takes much longer to come down. In fact, it lasts you more than a year of joy and fulfillment from an experience versus materialism. But yet still, we opt for material. Yeah,
because it's not a question that we get, there is a hit. You do feel if you acquire something new and you can't, you feel great. You feel, but as you say, a newer model comes out, someone else is wearing
and then you don't feel so good anymore.
You don't, and then it's a cycle of needing to get the newest and the latest and the best.
I'm chatting to David Abramson. He is a psychologist in a private practice, and we're talking about materialism. And why this seems to lead people to really dangerous things and self-destructive behavior. Dorf says chipmunks do hoard nuts, and of course they do, but we know that that is for a specific reason. That is because they're heading into winter. Herlene says, I am happy. And I am a vegan. I love animals. That's why I don't eat them. Premeditated murder is in the Torah in Leviticus. Well, I'll tell you, Helene, that this is the first time, and you've SMS'd the show a lot, and it's the first time you've told us you're a vegan, so I wouldn't say that you're classic in that way, because strictly speaking, it should have been the first message that you sent us. Time is 8:19. We'd love your thoughts, 34519 or 061-895-1019. So, David, we're talking about materialism, and, you know, I wrote an article 2 weeks ago in the Jewish Report about the behavior of kids at a shul Kiddush. And it was obviously a fairly light-hearted article, but it also wasn't. It was also a fairly serious article in the sense that, that my worry there was the kids who had been taught or had been socialized to grab as much as possible and run off with their booty. And to some extent, that's a microcosm of this problem, because if they're not taught at this stage, hold on, you don't need that piled up plate of sushi or biltong or whatever's there. You can actually do with a heck a lot less and come back if you want more. Isn't that the very messaging that our kids are receiving from a young age, that, you know, just pile it up. You don't need two pairs of shoes. You need six pairs of shoes. You need. And I mean, it's always a conversation with my kids when they say, you know, Dad, you know, I need this. And I'll say, well, need or want. Because it's two very, very different things. Discussing a need is very different to discussing a want. And let's understand what we're talking about here.
No, absolutely. And I think for me, adults have a huge responsibility to help our kids to understand that the other people at the brocha, the other people who won't have if you take all, and do you really need all of this? And I think, you know, it is a microcosm, and a reflection of maybe what our children are seeing. And when we think about this need to accumulate from a psychological perspective, you know, and it sounds like such a cliche, but it has been shown again and again that it's just this feeling of this inner discontentment, this kind of like feeling of separateness from the world, that one feels on a psychological level isolated. And that again, you take those sweets, you're going to eat as much as you can. And we can, extrapolate that example into the adult world. We get something and then we feel this temporary thrill, but then it dies down, as you say, very, very quickly. And then in order to, feel that again, we've got to go, we've got to go back to the brocha and we've got to get more. So I think for me, it just doesn't work. It's not sustainable. So I suppose, you know, the question is, what do we do about it? You know, how do we escape this? And I think there's a number of things. And I think one of the things that you are alluding to, Howard, is, you know, looking at, you mentioned about relationships, investing in relationships and experiences. You know, we often talk about pursuing intrinsic goals rather than extrinsic goals. And that kind of summarizes a lot of the solution that we can go to in order to, you know, resolve this. And intrinsic goals really, well, maybe we should say extrinsic goals first. You know, those are about becoming rich or famous, you know, seeking power. And it's all about kind of making it, if you want to call it that. It's a means to an end. So, and it's almost like forgetting the process of getting there. You know, it's about getting that to that end point, rather than the process and the development that is required and one should embrace by getting there. And intrinsic goals really, it's only a means to an end
David, I mean, it sounds great, but the reality is as adults, we are looking at somebody and saying, oh, great new car. Wow, you know that, and we say to a friend, that must have set them back 800,000 rand. And we say, beautiful house, wow, obviously this person must be doing really well. Or we're nasty and we say, well, they're lucky that their parents were born before them. We do that.
We do that.
And we're doing it, our kids are doing it. And then when you have somebody coming along that's stealing from people out of, you know, is it out of greed? Is it out of desperation? Is it out of just the need to acquire? We never really know the full extent of what goes on in somebody's mind. But how do we don't seem to be able to get out of the cycle.
Well, I think it's actually the words we use. If we see someone with a fantastic car, a brand new car, or a magnificent house, we say, geez, they must be doing really well. But what does that mean, Howard? What does it mean to be doing really well? So from a financial point of view, absolutely, people are doing very well in that case. Right. And I think, again, it's not that we should shun it, look down on it. I think if one actually, you know, loves one's job or pursues one's or lives one's life in a way that you are getting fulfillment, then absolutely it doesn't mean they're mutually exclusive. But again, when someone is doing really well financially, it doesn't mean that they're doing really well from a psychological and emotional point of view.
Yeah.
And that's the point, that it's always kind of linked together, that material wealth, material acquisition means psychological, emotional, spiritual happiness, which is certainly not the case. And I think that's the illusion that it creates. And I think it's so important because, you know, if it's going to be about materialism, then that's the end goal. Then you're going to never make it there because you're always setting out this goal to have the biggest house, the biggest car, and to sound brash, you die along the way and you never get to that place.
Exactly.
You actually make it and then you realize you're still unhappy. And then the cycle continues. So I think we know as human beings logically, intrinsically, we know in our heart of hearts that this doesn't make us happy. And actually, as you mentioned, what actually makes us happy, what the counterbalance to materialism is, things like, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but it is about being grateful, having gratitude, understanding, and it's so true, as you say, the real happiness comes from experiences. from friendships, from spiritual interactions, spiritual belief. And it's been proven over and over again. And the problem with this is that, you know, it's become like hearing a cliche. You know, we hear it so often and people just hear it and roll their eyes and move forward. But again, you know, it's the truth. It's how we, really can obtain that level of happiness. And again, it's another thing which is very difficult. These days there's so many articles on happiness. You know, everyone has to be happy, you know, all the time or most of the time. It's unrealistic. It's unrealistic. So again, we look to things which seem more tangible, because what is this happiness thing? It's very hard to hold on to. But material things seem more tangible. I'll be happy if I have that or if I obtain that. So I think for me, again, you know, happiness is overrated. And what I mean by that is that we're always striving to obtain this level of feeling so great, when actually it's not
that
normal.
That isn't what it's normal.
It's not
that
normal,
isn't
normal
what
to feel that way.
David, when we come back, I want to ask you the question as follows. When I go for a checkup, I'm always told, you know, I'm in great shape, but I'm overweight. You need to lose weight. And the doctor will always tell me as to the negative, why being overweight is unhealthy. And my answer to him is, or her is always, you don't need to tell me this. I read Men's Health. I got the stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing anything about it. And this, I kind of feel that our approach to materialism is no different. When we come back, I'd like to have that conversation. Pick and Pay, Norwood Hyper have these following special savings for you. Pick and Pay kosher tender chick frozen whole chicken, $49.99 a kilo. Kosher fresh chicken at a very low $79.99 per kilo. And Pick and Pay kosher OU Kroll Vorst to $79.99 per kilo. You can also get Pick and Pay frozen fish hake, $69.99 per kilo. You can catch these and many more specials in store. These specials are exclusive to Pick and Pay Norwood Hyper, and only while stocks last. Pick and Pay Hyper Norwood, the best place to shop when you want to buy a lot. The Jewish Community Survey of South Africa is now live. Go to www.jcssa2019.co.za to sign up. This is a once-in-a-decade opportunity to participate in the Kaplan Center's National Online Survey. The survey is open to Jewish adults 18 years and older living in South Africa. Your views are important and your participation is essential for planning the long-term needs of the community. Make time, participate, have your say. jcssa2019.co.za. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. They don't love it. No, they do not love it. Janine says, there's a time and a place for everything, but not the song. Oh, my word. I love the song. Michiel said he's driving into oncoming traffic just to stop the song, and he says it sounds like it's sung by a vegan. Oh dear. Colin says, oh, it's a Throw Up Thursday song. Does nobody like the song?
Do you think Whitney Houston's turning her grave?
Wow. Gosh. Unbelievable. Here's Ian S, who always listens to us from the Netherlands. Hi, Howard and Zanati. Selection of vegan food in the Netherlands supermarket is awesome, even on the braai. Okay, that's cool.
Okay.
That's cool. We're not judging. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole point is this, is you can actually eat whatever you want. I don't eat almonds. But I don't make it a thing that I go to a braai and I stand showing people videos of almonds being ripped off. What do they even grow on? Almonds. Trees.
I don't know.
Whatever almonds grow on, you know, and when they are cruelly pushing those almonds to lactate and produce almond milk. Do you think I show people those videos? I don't. I've never even seen a video of a lactating almond in truth. But it's not the point. Is that just be who you are? Nobody cares.
Don't bother everybody.
Stop bothering everybody with your veganism. Wow. They say, we are totally judging. Yep, we really, really are. You know what? That's the other thing, by the way, David.
Yes.
And I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but I get really angry with my kids when they say to me, Dad, don't judge. Because we do judge.
We do
judge. We judge all the time.
Absolutely.
How do you make a decision as to what is good and what is not good and what you want to be part of and who you want to aspire to be and who you don't? We judge.
We do.
Get over it. We judge. Right, exactly. Exactly.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, much better. Okay, Ian says, wow. We were discussing a show in Frankfurt on Sunday. My aunt started listening last week after I told her about it. She absolutely loves the show. Thanks, Zanati and Howard. That's awesome. Ian, thank you. That is absolutely wonderful and a great shout out to your aunt listening from Frankfurt. That is really, really awesome. Time is 8:37. David Abramson. So there we go. I'm overweight. I go to the doctor. Yeah. He says to me, you need to lose weight. I say, I know the benefits. I read Men's Health, I do nothing about it. Isn't that the same with as our approach to I was going to say veganism, but no, I mean materialism.
It's we go back to that cognitive dissonance, Howard. We know, and that's the point: is the intellectual and the emotional, and that's where the struggle comes in. So we know we should exercise. We know we should stop mm-hmm. smoking. Mm-hmm. We know we shouldn't have that cholent. Remember, we were talking about that a few weeks ago. But we eat it anyway, and that's the complication of the human brain. And the same thing with materialism. We know in our heart of hearts that it's not going to really make us happy, but we do it anyway. That's what we strive for. Many people, but that's what we're appealing to people today to do. Is yes, okay. We're bombarded by all these kind of messages from in the world, but let's be aware of that and let's be mindful of what these messages are trying to tell us. Let's be mindful of what they're trying to tell us and not just consume them without any thought. So, so what is the answer we're saying? What is the way to go? Relationships, friendships. That's what really makes us feel great. And that's where, go to, as Jews, you can go to shul or church and be with people around you. Spirituality, very important as far as being happy is concerned. And I think, helping others. I know it sounds like, again, such a cliche, but that is an intrinsic, goal to pursue, is the journey of helping other people. And yes, it does make you feel good, but it's very different to an extrinsic goal. So those are the kind of things that we want to try and do in our lives. So yes, nothing wrong. If we want to try and, get that brand new car or, have a better house, go for it. Let's do it. But let's do it mindfully and understand that actually when we do buy it, we are going to feel fantastic for a while, but then our neighbor might buy a better car or a newer car might come out and it's not going to feel so good. And that's going to be the chasing of the tail. So rather, do it. Again, let's try not to judge. And stand on, sit on our high horse here. But very importantly, don't lose sight of those, goals in life that really, or those activities that will truly, truly make you happy. And let's make sure that we pursue those as well.
It sounds sensible to me. The problem, this is unsigned. The problem is that from our earliest age, we hear happy birthday, happy new year, etc. We grow up believing that being happy is our right. We should rather get the wish, may you have the courage and the wisdom, the fortitude to deal with the challenges of life that come your way.
It's a hard song to sing.
I was just going to sing, may you have the courage and the fortitude to you. No, it's a bit long. We'll have to
change the tune.
I get our thought. The thought is right.
Yes.
I happen to agree with that. But,
I agree with that as well.
We're going to have to try and find a way to fit it into a song. Speaking of songs, I'm sorry, David, one second. Jenny said, so funny, that passive voice singing about wanting to feel the heat with somebody. It's too funny. It sounds like two old sisters comforting each other. And what does this mean? Hell is other people's Howard.
What?
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like offensive, so therefore I like it. Lots and lots of messages.
I think there's a competition in there, Howard.
What's that?
To come up with this happy birthday. I think the listener's got a point. We should come up with a new tune and new words.
Listen to this. I love this.
Was I completely ignored there?
No, completely ignored. Okay. We were invited to a 70th birthday party. Invitation said, no children or vegans.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Ooh. Ooh. Whew. I mean, it's courageous. It is courageous. Wow. Wow. We need to stop keeping up with the Joneses, says Unsigned. And Mervin says, King Solomon says in Kohelet, if someone has 1,000, he wants 2,000, then 4,000. If he feels he hasn't enough, who is a rich man? One who is happy with his lot. Absolutely right. And Benjamin says, hi, Howard. How about Get Over It by Don Henley from the Eagles? It's old enough for a throwback Thursday. Indeed, time is 8:42. In just a moment, we're going to chat to Luba Mayekiso.
Give your child the best possible grounding for life at Redhill School. We ensure that our children actively develop the skills, creativity, confidence, and thinking that will prepare them for the world they will one day enter. Our international baccalaureate program is globally recognized and pioneering in its approach, teaching students to be inquirers, risk takers, and open-minded individuals. Visit redhill.co.za for details. Redhill School, building leaders for their time.